If I can Google an answer for you, it's probably likely you're too lazy
yeah.
to come up with the right answer for yourself, right? It's not a judgment
no.
because you might not know that you can do that. And I just told you.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Stelly Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Stelly's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Hey, this is Stelly and Heaton. We're just talking about something that we can talk on air. Heaton is the total professional who's ready to talk about this totally unrelated topic we're really going to talk about in today's episode. And Stelly's still struggling a little bit to get his mind to a totally frame.
So let me start it.
All right, okay, you go.
So over the weekend, while you were traveling,
yes,
I posted on our Facebook group. That's thestartupchat.com/FB if you want to join it. I posted on the Facebook group. It's reaching about 1,000 people. So
yes.
That 1,000th member we might want to highlight. I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, let's do something.
We're very close now. I posted a question, which is not a question, just a comment in there or whatever around us helping each other, right? And so a bunch of people started posting their problems, challenges, whatever, and I tried to respond to a lot of them, and then other people joined in, and then I stopped responding, and I haven't responded since, and I just was kind of, it's kind of an experiment to see what happens. So if you posted in there and no one's responded yet, post again or do something, ping me, I'm happy to give you an answer. But the episode today is going to be about that, and it's probably not what you're thinking as you hear this, but the big takeaway for me as I did that, it was actually an experiment on multiple fronts. One, you know, are people willing to help each other that are in the group? Because that's really what we're all about. It's founders, entrepreneurs, aspirational entrepreneurs helping each other. And then the other piece was what I realized as I started answering the questions is, the majority of the questions I was answering, they were all answered with Google. So if you notice, I think 3 or 4 of them I answered out of 5 or 6 that I did, they all had a link to something. Some of it was my stuff, some of it was someone else's stuff. But you know, a lot of times I find myself, when someone asks a question, just Googling it for them and answering it. And I know that sounds pretty crude, but like it works. And most of the time, they could have Googled it as well. So this is going to be about how to find the best content on any topic.
Yeah.
Because if you have a problem, it's likely instead of asking somebody, you could ask Google. And Google will give you a damn good answer if you know how to use Google.
Yes. So this seems so obvious that people might easily overhear this topic as like, oh, this is not something that is going to be valuable to me because I sure know how to use fucking Google, right? That can't be that hard. But I found that there is different degrees of knowing how to use Google. I think the you're probably a black belt, so I'm curious to see what your mind frame is and how you use not just Google but generally how you look into finding answers to your questions. Mm. But I think that and another thing is that there's a wide range of like degrees of knowledge in how to use Google, how to use search to answer topics. And I think people, especially in tech, especially in Silicon Valley, don't realize that most human beings who have access to the internet and access to Google I have no fucking clue how to use it. And that's a good reminder to me when we talk about new technologies and the power, how it's going to change everyone's life, is to go, just because it has the potential to change everybody's life doesn't mean it will. And I'll start with this quick note, because I know I still remember how it was not to have any fucking clue how to use the internet. Because I got my first computer when I was 23. And when I arrived in Silicon Valley,
so about 10 years ago? Roughly?
Roughly
right?
10 years ago, yeah.
Okay.
A little longer.
Yeah.
And when I arrived in Silicon Valley, I'd spent a few months really getting into like startups and the web and things like that, but I still was like totally clueless.
And just to
yes.
date myself, I've
yes.
had a computer for 25 years. At
there
least.
You go. So
yeah.
Two and a half
yeah.
times longer than me,
yeah.
for sure. So when I arrived in the Valley, one of the first like mind-blowing experiences working with engineers was working with David, who was the first programmer at the startup that I was trying to build. And I remember every time we had a debate or a discussion about something, historic, pop culture, whatever the fuck it was, he would always just turn around and go, well, let me Google this, right? And find the answers to things. And always interrupt our kind of organic conversation with a little bit of research on finding things in Google. And at first, it was both slightly annoying, but also enlightening for me in the sense that, oh, wow, I would have never thought about using Google. Like, I'm sitting in front of my laptop, and I'm like, huh, I wonder how it was back in, you know, whatever, back in China. Like, I had these questions that I was willing to leave unanswered just because I didn't have the habit of Googling things at all times.
Yeah.
And he really opened my eyes to that. And now when I go back home and I sit down, like when we have lunch with a company, there's no question that's not going to be researched through a smartphone at one point or another. And facts and data always double check no matter who throws them out. So I'm really used to that. But then when I leave the bubble and I go back home and I hang out with some friends of mine that are working as like, you know, car repairmen and work at a factory, and like people have nothing to do with technology or entrepreneurship. And we sit at a bar or at lunch and we discuss things in general. Bless you. And,
excuse me.
And we have questions about facts and things of that nature. I'm always blown away that there's like five smartphones on the table and everybody's willing to not have an answer to a question because they're just not, they just don't have the habit built to search
habit.
For these things.
Yeah.
So I think that we all underestimate how little people are using Google and their smartphones to get to information because it's not a habit. Not that they don't have access to it, they're just not used to using it that way. So let me ask you, what are your, like, so that's the one extreme. There's people that are not even using the basic, just typing in a keyword and searching for answers. But let's talk about some of the techniques and tactics you use when you look for answers to questions.
Yeah.
Because there's things that are very simple, but what are some of the things that you do that you don't think everybody does when they use Google or when they search for answers?
Yeah. So, I think first is just realizing that the answer is already in some content that someone's written publicly. So the first thing I default to is, can I find the answer without having to bother anyone? So for me, it's like, how do I not bother anybody? And there's a bunch of reasons, right? One, asking a dumb question is embarrassing. I love dumb questions. I have no problem with people asking me them. But you're probably going to get a question back, and you're going to feel kind of dumb. Or I'm going to tell you I Googled it, which I rarely do now because I Googled it anyways, and you should just assume that when I give you an answer, if it has a link, that I Googled it, because it's not like I know everything off the top of my head.
Right.
But I have a good encyclopedia of where to find the content. So if I see a piece of content that's damn good, it's somewhere in my memory. Now, that's probably more special to me because I have a visual memory. I'm basically an encyclopedia, right, in a lot of those ways. So I wouldn't say other people can repeat that because that has something to do with my own habits and how I've grown up, trained myself, whatever, right? And I think a lot of it was subconscious. So I can't tell you I did anything on purpose except just try to lean into things that I loved, right? And just try to understand them. But, and it has to do with computers for 25 years though, right? I can still write a QBasic program to run a loop like I used to do in Radio Shack and drive the Radio Shack employees crazy, right? But like, it probably just started from back then. But something everyone can do is just think about it like, instead of asking someone else a question, why don't you just ask Google the question and see if you can find an answer. And I literally mean you could just type in the damn question in Google. And if you don't put quotes in it, then you'll likely find the answer you want because it's going to have the words. So to me, and also I got to say one thing. I say Google it, but like if I'm looking for blog content, then what I would do is I'd actually go to BuzzSumo. And I do searches in BuzzSumo. But I also have a paid account there. But like I use that a lot because it's a faster way for me to get blog content and find popularity, which implies quality and is a good signal for it, really fast. So if I want to know the best content on, light bulbs, right? I might actually go to BuzzSumo first because it's just faster and I can go look at what got shared the most about light bulbs, right? If I had a question about office space, so let's get very practical, and lighting in office space, I'd go Google that. The best lighting for an office space. That's where I would start. And then depending on the answers I saw, I would iterate it from there. And really, for me, I think a lot of people, when they think about searching Google, they think about a single search. For me, searching Google is always a multi-search experience. So I already assume that I'm going to have to search six times in that box and keep tweaking it until I find the best content.
How do you – so let's talk about the tweaks. So,
sure.
So first, all right, Google, one resource – BuzzSumo, something that not everybody will be familiar with?
No, they won't. It's a blog search engine, basically. It's what Technorati used to be, if anybody remembers that.
Oh.
That's the way I look at it. Yeah.
There you go. So so they can tell you which blog...
I look at it like this. There are sites out there that are basically databases. If you think about Google, it's a fucking database. and you're just searching the database through a search interface. With BuzzSumo, it's a database. You're searching that database. Another one's Quora. Sometimes Quora has an answer, commonly actually, in almost anything, and they have the more interesting answers. So that's another search engine I would use, right? Another tactic. So if someone asks me a sales question, I don't know as much about sales as you do, but I know that between your blog, the HubSpot sales blog, and the Sitekick blog, I can probably answer any question I need. So then I would do site colon HTTP blog.close.io and then start doing my keyword searches. So I'm only using your own site. Yep. I don't see people doing that. But it's stupid, right? If you have a sales question, go search the close.io blog and do it through Google. You don't have to use their search because I'm sure your search sucks, right? Compared to Google.
It does.
Right? Everyone's does, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people don't think like that. People actually don't think about searching the source.
No.
You are the source, one of the sources on sales content. So if you want to know about marketing, go to the KissMetrics blog. Because one, we write long-form content over there. And two, you'll find almost any topic in marketing and an answer and a comprehensive answer.
Yeah.
And that's what you're looking for, right? Those are proxies of brands that are trusted in categories. And so I tend to use those. Because 9 times out of 10, whatever content shows up, it'll be good. On that topic, right? So that's kind of what I mean. And I think that, you know, I don't want to judge people or anything, but like if I can Google an answer for you, it's probably likely you're too lazy to come up with the right answer for yourself, right? It's not a judgment because you might not know that you can do that. And I just told you, right?
You
and so I almost want to tell people exactly how I got the answers for them sometimes when I Google it, right? But like, that's all I'm doing. I'm not doing anything anyone else can't do.
Especially when people reach out to somebody like you and me, where there's a popular blog attached to us about specific topics, right? So if somebody wants to know how you're dealing with your children or something like that, maybe that's not something that comes to mind, or going to the KissMetrics blog to search. But when they're like, huh, I wonder how can I do some basic SEO things for my blog, then going to you, which then makes you think about what were the blog posts we wrote about on KissMetrics, and then have to find them and send them to them, which is about half the time what I do is I send people to blog posts we wrote on Close.io. That's just the type of thinking people don't have, because otherwise they would not have to bother you.
I think it's valuable to people to Google it for them. I'm not even being absurd when I say that. It's just like, literally, if you can't find it, I'll find it for you.
Yep.
If that's faster for you of asking me, fine, fuck it. Yeah. It's really fast for me to find it. But like, you know, this is a skill I think everyone should have. And then everyone's questions would get better.
Yes.
Because they wouldn't be asking the fundamental stuff. They'd be asking more situational stuff. Like, I'm in this situation. What do I do? I've read these things already.
Yes.
That's what I love.
Or follow-up questions, right? Which is awesome. I have had this problem. I read your 3 blog posts on this, and I still am left with this question.
Awesome.
That shit is awesome, right? Because then, you know, I'm going to answer you this, but I'm going to write it in a way where I can copy-paste it and put it in those blog posts.
And you can reference, right?
Yes.
And you learn how to make your content better and stuff like that. So there's a lot of benefits if someone's actually read the content first. Now, if they haven't, what I actually tend to do is, hey, go read this, and if you have questions on it, I'll answer them.
Yep.
Right? That's been helpful when it's my own content.
Yep.
I almost want to tell people that when it's not my content, because I can help them even if it's not my content, right?
Yeah.
And it's likely I've read it or know about it. So I think there's just this fundamental laziness. Right, and I call it that, but I don't want to be I don't want to be judgmental about it, because I think people just don't know.
Yeah, I think people don't have built the habit of thinking through what they need, and then asking themselves what are all available ways to get it.
That's right.
So what people do is typically they're very impulse driven. Hey, I saw Heaton at this talk. He's an awesome dude. I have this marketing question. Let me email Heaton.
Let me go ask him. That's how humans think.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Versus going, let me ask him. And I'm all for email Heaton, right?
Sure.
Because this is a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
But take one further step in going, hey, if I have this question, Heaton could be an available source to answer it. What have I done to answer this question before
myself.
I approach myself, before I approach
even anyone?
Yes. What have I done?
But for me, this comes from something really stupid. I just don't want to bother people. For me, it comes from that. I think most other people are taught, especially as founders, entrepreneurs, or people trying to start businesses, that if you don't ask, you don't get an answer.
Yeah.
If you don't ask, you don't even have an opportunity. And that goes against what I'm saying.
Yeah. To me, it's not about not bothering people. I love to bother people.
Sure, I know you.
But to me, it's about not wasting people's time, because I hate wasting people's time.
Yeah.
And also,
makes sense.
I I love to be, well, not I love, but I want to be thoughtful. So I don't like to just act instantly on impulses. I used to do that, but I've learned to overcome that. So when my impulse is, let's just email Heaton and ask something, I always go, what have I done to ask this question? Have I thought it through? What's the real question? What could be an answer? Have I looked it up? Have I, like, I'll go through a little bit more of self-examination before I just follow the impulse and write your message. All right, so we have different sources, right? AppSumo, Google, not AppSumo, BuzzSumo, Google, Quora. The other way around, though, is if you sometimes, and this is another thing that I don't see many people doing in a smart way, sometimes you can just go to a network and ask openly. So let's take Facebook or Twitter as an example. And this is another thing that most people don't do is, you know, you've struggled, you haven't figured out the answer to a question. How about going to Facebook and just posting the question in an open way to your entire network,
right?
And allowing some level of randomness to
and you get a lot of variation in responses. So if you want a lot of perspectives, I found that to be super valuable. LinkedIn, Facebook, even Twitter. Some people call it a lazy tweet, right? Lazy or I forgot what they call lazy something when they ask a question. Right? But it's fine. I mean, it's great.
And you can filter down. You can CC a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You could go into a specific group like the Startup Chat, you know, if you're not part of it, thestartupchat.com/FB for
there
Facebook. You could be number 1,000, you know, the 1,000th member. You join a specific group and then you ask the question there. That can be super valuable. What are some of the variations? So let's say I go to Google, I type in most people will either just type in a few keywords. So let's say light in an office, right? If that's the question, how to set up my lighting for my office space for maximum productivity, I could ask the entire question kind of natural language, which I would assume, I don't know if that's the natural behavior or not, if people have already learned.
Google?
Yeah.
So over time, I read this at some point, over time, the number of keywords in a search have gone up.
Okay.
So that's definitely happened. So people are learning.
Okay.
But like literally, if you have a question, just type it in Google as if you're asking somebody and just see what happens. It doesn't hurt.
Let's say that that doesn't give me an answer.
Yeah.
Right? And specific questions also now with SEO and all that stuff, there's just some question will need very good quality answers and some of them will not. So what are some of the go-to variations?
Yeah, so the variations I'll do is like I'll hit they have it's called search tools and it's in kind of the top bar. I can even find it in mobile. And and usually the main things are news, images, and stuff like that you see as options. But there's something called search tools and you can look for recency. So you can change that and say, I just want to see things that are in Google's index the last 24 hours or last hour.
Interesting.
Or I'm sorry, not hour, last 24 hours, last week, last month, stuff like that. So I'll just use those filters if I want more recent information, right? And that's been really valuable.
Okay.
Other things I'll do is site colon, we already talked about.
Yeah.
But the other one is file type searches. So I'll do file type PDF, file type PPT. Because a lot of times when you want educational stuff, where you want to learn something, it's in a PDF or a PowerPoint. And so I'll do those file type searches. You can also find fonts that way. I'll leave it at that. And then ones that you usually have to pay for. And then so that would be like file type TTF. So the file type has been really useful, especially if you're looking for things that are more white papery and stuff like that. You can even do like the site colon, and then you can even type in like if you did site colon blog.kissmetrics.com and then you put webinar as a keyword and then wrote like conversion optimization, you might even go find behind login pages, right? That's a trick to do that.
Yeah.
I've even done similar tricks where I'll find someone's landing page, right? And then maybe I want to find all their landing pages. So then I'll go mess with the URL and do site colon in their landing page subdomain thing and then go find all their damn landing pages and I'll know how much marketing they're doing, what words they're using, right? So there's a lot of ways here, right, that you can use Google just with single sort of operators, right? And there's a whole cheat sheet everywhere. There's infographics on this about the operators, right? But I tend not to focus on those because those are, I only use two or three. The site colon, the search tools, which is not really an operator, it's just timeliness. And then the file type. Those are probably the three key ones I use constantly.
Let's quickly shift gears.
Yeah,
just
sure.
A little bit interested in the way you consume content and then how things bubble up to you as things that you, as a curator, you have a newsletter. Tell people how to get on it.
Yeah.
Heaton has a newsletter where every week he sends out kind of some of the best content that he found.
Yeah, for SaaS.
For SaaS.
Yeah.
On different topics.
Newsletter. Yeah.
How do I get on that newsletter real quick?
That's just Heaton.com.
Yohedin.com. I highly recommend it to everybody.
Thank you.
How do you, how much do you consume content? How do you consume content? And then how do you decide what is good content and not content? How to include things into the things that you recommend?
So for books, I do audiobooks and listen to them really fast. I also use...
What's really fast? 1.5, 2?
I'll go the top. Whatever they give me as a top option, I'll go do that.
Really?
So on Audible, it's 3X. On YouTube, it's 2X. Audible's 3X is actually YouTube's 2X.
Okay.
So Audible's 3X is actually 2X. The reason for that is I think they wanted to give you more granularity.
Yeah.
And audio is a little different than video, just in some ways. But that's one trick, but most people can't handle that. So I use Blinkist, and I actually pay for it. And it's an iPhone app that summarizes books. So I can read books in 15 minutes. Because they give me the summaries, and it's like literally section by section. And there's a whole bunch of other old school products like that, like Get Abstract and a bunch of other ones.
Yeah.
But Blinkist is a mobile app. And it's Blinkist, BLINKIST.com.
Okay.
There's a free version, but there's also a paid version. But it'll give you literally almost any business book that I can find on there, and it'll give me a summary of the book. And that's been really valuable at that kind of content.
Yeah.
So books, audio, and Blinkist. And then in terms of modern sort of more blog content and stuff like that, I think everyone should get good at determining quality of content just by scanning it. And I'm very good at that. So I'll scan content, and usually it's like there's a headline. And then depending on the structure of the content, I can literally pretty fast gauge whether it's high quality or not. I don't even necessarily need to read it. Right, so the way they title the sections, whether they have bullets or not, and whether they've included like samples of things. Those are the few key things I look at. But if you think about all that, it's really just good content marketing that these companies are doing. Now, if they're doing that though, their quality of content is generally higher, right, when they have better structure and stuff like that. So I might miss like a couple articles here and there that are just sloppily written, but really good content.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when it's like really meaty and long, I might actually read it. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But usually skimmable content, I can skim content and tell you the quality pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just gotten good at that. Easy hack to get good at that is open 25 pieces of amazing content that you find on BuzzSumo off different keywords and just scan it. And you'll already get a good idea of what good content is. If it gets shared a lot, it's likely to be good. Because the clickbait stuff doesn't work anymore, right? People will click, but they won't share it if it's got a good headline.
Yeah.
But if it's got a good headline and the content backs it up, they'll also share it. So there's a good proxy of quality in terms of something that's been popularly shared.
And then how do you consume it? Is it mostly on the phone, mostly on your desk?
I'm mostly on the phone. In fact, the phone makes life easier because there's reader mode there, and there's it's just easier to scan content on the phone for me than even on a desktop. I can do it faster all the time.
Okay.
Like I'm gonna now. Like right now we're on the 12th floor, right?
Yes.
I'm gonna get out of here, get out of your room, probably go to the bathroom, then leave because that's just my habit every time because I drink water, right? And then as I'm walking to the elevator and going downstairs because your elevator takes a fuckload of time, right? I'm gonna go there, walk down, and in that process, I'll probably skim 5 articles, whether it's from Twitter or like tech meme or something, because I'll just open it and just look around and just see what's going on. I might even retweet a couple things, right?
Okay.
So I'm just using that time effectively to like keep my sort of radar for quality content really fresh.
Okay.
But it's a 5-minute walk to my car. Once I'm in my car, I'm not going to use my phone.
Okay.
Right? So I'm doing it all the time, as much as possible.
Do you do it also when you're... When are you doing it also while working? So you have email open, you're answering some email, you're working on some project. Are you switching to consuming content back and forth? Are you not reading content on your laptop? You'll still consume it on your phone to kind of separate the two? Because all the time is awesome, but also it includes just everything, which I don't believe you do. Do you do it at all times on any device?
I'm very good at context switching, like unbelievably good at it. And that means I'm good at multitasking.
So you do it.
Right. Because you're not really ever multitasking. You're context switching, right?
Yeah.
So, and I have the typical problem most people have, which is lots of tabs open and stupid shit like that, right?
Okay.
But I'm also not sitting there and in maker mode. So maker mode is where I wouldn't be distracted, right? So that's probably 10% of the time I spend, unfortunately. While being in the mode of doing email, I am going to be reading content because for me, it's quite related.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean I'm trying to get distracted by reading content because I think I try to avoid that.
Okay. And then what are some common mistakes like people do that are trying to get better at, you know, building habits around?